The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
Good evening. My name is Rabbi David Aaron, and I'm the Dean, Founder of Israelite. This is where you're sitting. You're sitting in the Israelite Center. What are we doing? Well, this is something that has really disturbed me since I went out on Shidduchim, and it's not like I found my Shidduch right away. It took me a little time, you know, and I certainly can't compare myself to some of the very challenging periods of time that others have gone through, but I, you know, I had my fair share of the Shidduch blues. I was very lucky. I had a roommate who was in yeshiva who was very, very funny. So when I come back from a date, he would put a towel over his head as if it was hair, and he'd put a pillow in his cloak, and he'd pretend that he was my date, and he'd cheer me up and make me laugh and, you know, things like that. And when I told him that I met a woman who was a parachutist, which is actually my wife today, so, you know, so when I came in after the first date, he jumped at me from and looking like my date with a parachute. So, you know, it was very nice, but I needed a lot of comic relief when I was dating. And I'm sure the stories I've heard from other people, they can also use a little comic relief, because it's not always the most pleasant experience. And I definitely do have many of my own stories where I went to Shadchanim, and I really had no clue why they fixed me up with the girl that they fixed me up with. And basically, I just spent the whole evening just trying to figure out, what could I have said that in any way, in some inkling way, they thought there was any reason for me to meet? And so I would just basically keep myself busy and active at the shidduch just to figure this puzzle out. Why did they think this was a good idea? But on the other hand, looking back, I didn't handle it in the most mature way, because I got a little upset with some of the shadchanim and never called them back or never called them to thank them. And now that I play that role, I realize it's really not nice. You know, people are just trying, and we certainly are not prophets, and nobody's really making any profits out of this. So you're just doing it out of the goodness of your heart. So when I make a shidduch and people don't call me back to just let me know it was good, it was not good, or tell me what was not good, because then I could be more of help. Just give me a guidance. And people just don't call you back and don't let you know. So as much as I don't judge, because, you know, it is very painful, and I know people that just don't want to talk about it because they're in so much pain, but it just doesn't help. And it doesn't motivate the shadchan to want to help you out again, because I don't get any feedback, and I don't know what you're thinking, you know. And so, but I did that too, but I definitely warn you that if you are seeking someone's help, then you realize, you know, they're just trying. They're really just trying, especially people who aren't making, you know, money or much money out of it. It's a lot of work to try and connect people. So what I've been thinking about is, I know in terms of my own dating, it was very painful to have to spend an entire evening with someone when, quite frankly, sometimes I knew within 5 minutes that this is not going to work for me. You know, so then what do? Then you got a whole evening, and you don't want to be disrespectful, and you don't want to hurt people's feelings. On the other hand, you actually are hurting people's feelings, because you're not really so present there, and you really aren't feeling so happy, and you're thinking like, oh my gosh, I have to go through this again. And, you know, and so I've been really thinking about how to do this a little bit more in a painless way, whereby it can be fun, it can be a little expedient, and we can maybe, you know, cut to the chase a little bit faster. And there's some very great, you know, wonderful options out there. There's a new program called Speed Dating, which a lot of people have heard about, and I know people have found it to be very productive. My personal feeling about speed dating, and I never went to a speed dating, but I've met many people who have, that it's maybe a little intimidating, because you're basically sitting in front of a person, and now you'll have X amount of time to ask them questions, and now they have X amount of time to ask you questions. It just seems to me that maybe it would be a little more uncomfortable. So my thought is, and this is what we've been doing for a while, is to simply break up into groups and have discussions, whereby there isn't one person interrogating another person, but really it's a group of men and women having a discussion that is hopefully a little bit revealing about yourself, and not necessarily, you know, in this kind of crossfire situation. As well as you all have your name tags, and as well as a number, excuse me for putting numbers on people. And the idea is very simple, that if there's someone here that at all interests you, and you're going to have a chance to at least get a glimpse of everybody here, you can just put that in here, And we then go, you know, through the box. And if there are two people that are interested, then my staff will call and try and make the connection. But nobody here is allowed to, in any way, approach anybody here. And that was part of the point, which is nobody would feel uncomfortable, nobody would feel that they're being hit on, and being, but it's like as tenua, as modest as we can set up a situation, it's just the blue box right here, and nobody knows what you put in there except us, and then we'll be happy to try and follow that up and see where that can go. So, you know, that's really how it's going to work for the evening. We're going to break up into four groups in different parts of the building and have, we've got some facilitators here who have kindly given of their time to be part of facilitating a discussion. I'm going to offer a topic for discussion. The downside of this approach, and I'm telling you, this is the downside. The downside is, as much as I went out on dates and after 5 minutes I thought I knew, and this is a waste of time, but there were times where, in 5 minutes I thought I knew, but I was stuck and I knew I had to give it an hour. And after 5 minutes, I said, okay, I'll give it another 15 minutes. And after 15 minutes, the person actually looked a lot better and a lot interesting, and that's really the difference between what we would call yofi and chein. Yofi is an external beauty, and chein is an inner beauty, right? And that inner beauty, when you just kind of tap into it, suddenly even the person physically looks different. It's an amazing thing, but I'm sure you've had that experience where you're even at a Shabbat table and you get your first impression of what a person looks like, and yet for some reason, by the end of the evening, they don't look like the same person. Why is that? It's really bizarre. And that's the difference between chein and yofi. Chein is an inner beauty that you can't get to unless there's some kind of interaction. What's really kind of mystical about it is after you have that interaction, suddenly, even physically, the person's face looks different. Right? It's an amazing idea. And that idea goes just the opposite way too. I'm sure you've all been on a date where perhaps within the first encounter you say, beautiful, handsome, right? And yet after a few moments of discussion, not so beautiful, not so handsome, and it's even possible after a little while, they even repulse you. And that's really, how could that be? I mean, physical is physical. But it's not true. There's no such thing as physical spiritual. We're total. And if you really want, and so that's the downside of this experience where it's a little bit short, and you're not really forced to spend an hour with someone where it's possible that in the first 5 minutes you thought for sure not, but after an hour where you're just forced into a difficult situation, you realize, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I really should give this a chance. So that's the downside of this, and that's why I bring it up. So you should give it a chance. Because I recall I invited this woman who was a model to my house for a Friday night dinner. And I forgot who else I had put on my guest list. And it was all the yeshiva guys I was teaching in Gomorrah. And as I was walking home with this very attractive woman from the Kotel, I'm thinking, well, who else did I invite tonight? I'm thinking Shlaimi and Moishi and Yossi and, oh my gosh, like all these yeshiva guys who've been looking at Gomorrahs all day long. And I'm going to walk in with this gorgeous model. Well, what are you going to do? God plans, you make a mistake, but it's God's plan. So I walked into the house, and you had all these yeshiva guys sitting in the living room, and just as I walked in, they took one look, and they fell off their chairs, and I thought it was me, but I forgot she was behind me. And, it was clear that we were not going to be talking much about the Parsha tonight, because these guys were totally interested in this woman. We're sitting at the Shabbos table, all the energy is quite obvious, and immediately one guy turns to her and asks her a question about herself, and she begins to talk, and within moments, you could just see this exchange of glances amongst the guys, and right away they turned to me, Rabbi, tell us about the Parsha. I mean, they just totally lost interest in this woman, because unfortunately, although she had Yofi, her inner chein was not really quite shining yet. And it's just the way it is. So that's the downside of this, which is you're going to meet people, and it's going to be for a very short amount of time, so you'll get the split second of an impression of a person, which is kind of unfair. But on the other hand, sometimes it's just the way it is, that you do kind of know. But it's often you don't know. So my suggestion is this, and my challenge with some of the singles that I've met is, and I know it's painful, but try to give it more of a chance. Try to open up the possibilities. And I always share, you know, when I was dating, I had decided that, you know, I'd already gone to a number of shadchanim, and I was already had a number of very depressing evenings. And I decided, you know, it's my fault because I haven't been clear on who and what I want. So I sat down to think about really who I want. And I wrote a list. Right? And I was really having a good time. And I had this long, long list of, and I thought I really knew what I wanted. And then I went to a shadchan and he said to me, he says, well, do you have any idea what you're looking for? I said, well, thank you for asking. I took it out of my wallet, you know, out of my pocket, my scroll. I let it go and it rolled down this, you know, down the floor. And I read out my list of Miss, you know, Miss Right for me. And as I'm reading out this list, the shadchan's jaw is dropping further and further in just total awe. And he says, at the end of this, he says, I don't know anyone like that. And I said, well, good. Thank you. Because don't waste my time, and I won't waste yours or anybody else's time. And just, you know, I'm happy that we're clear. So I felt really good, you know. Then, about 2 weeks later, he calls me up and says, I found her. Now I'm really worried. You know, you really get worried. You're like, oh no, you might, like, I really might meet her. So I said, you did? And he said, tell me about her. And sounded right. So I said, okay, I'll meet her. So, you know, I had my list memorized and I was very, very clever in my, you know, conversation to see if she has this and if she has that, if she has this and she has that. And sure enough, as the evening's going on, I just can't believe it. She's got number one. She's got number two. I mean, we're going through the list. We're up to 3,521. Just joking. It was 3,520. That's all. And so, I was in absolute awe. I was in awe. She had everything I was looking for, and I couldn't stand her. And I realized that, you know, paper and people aren't made of the same stuff. And that's a serious problem with lists. And my fear is, you know, my wife has become now a shadchan for Sayyid Sinai. And we really do this together, so I also look on the website. And you know, you see people describe who they are and what they're looking for. And I think it narrows people down. On one hand, you want to be clear. But on the other hand, you know, very often people are looking for themselves. But you got yourself already. So look for something very different. You know, so people say, well, I'm very spiritual. I'm looking for someone spiritual. Well, maybe you don't need somebody spiritual because you're already spiritual. So maybe you need someone that's more grounded, you know. And so people have got these preconceived notions of what they want, but it's very possible it's not at all what they need. And my wife knows this from personal experience, not only in terms of our own relationship, but also in terms of what's happened with her two daughters, which are Baruch Hashem married, you know, especially our first daughter, she had a very clear picture of who she wanted to marry. It was basically a guy like me. That was the biggest mistake, but what can I tell her? She has confused ideas about her father. But she really wanted a guy like me. And she met a guy who was not at all like me. Right? Not at all like me, except the fact that he has red hair, which is a good start, right? But he's not at all like me. And that was a real challenge for her because he was not at all what she always pictured that would interest her since she was very young. And she meets a guy and there was an attraction there, but it was so confusing to her because he's not at all what she thought she would want to marry. And you know, Baruch Hashem, mostly my wife had the clarity of helping my daughter really understand that you've got it wrong in terms of who you really, really want to marry. And that can happen. And sometimes it's important to talk to somebody because it could be that part of what's interfering with, you know, and it might not be any interference in, who knows, right? Hashem runs the world. But it could be one issue that should be addressed, which is, do I have a picture in my mind that's just not right? And that's why Hashem is just not, because Hashem's trying, but I keep coming to the date with a different picture than Hashem has. And that makes it very, very challenging for people to get out of their paradigm and realize, maybe I should just be more open and just go out. Right? Go out. Now, I know it's painful. I know it, but it depends on your mindset. Right? Number two, the Gemara teaches us that when you pray for something, if you pray for your friend first, you get answered. It's an interesting little way of manipulating God. But no, you should pray for others. And therefore, if you're at an event like this, and you're just thinking about yourself, I don't think that'll bring you a lot of bracha. right? But if you're in an event like this, and you're thinking about yourself, but also everybody else you know. Rav Aviner, not so long ago, wrote an article called "We Are All Shadchanim." If we would all take responsibility for each other and say, you know what, I went out on a date with a guy, he's not for me, but I think he might be for my friend. And so on every single date, every single person you meet, you should not only be thinking about them in terms of yourself, but everybody else that you know, right? And if we could just network, we could just really get things moving for all of us. You know, and so that's another thing that I ask you to take in mind, which is you could easily walk away tonight, feel really down that you didn't meet anybody, but if you take another attitude, A, you could really be meeting somebody for your friend, and that will bring you a lot of bracha, a lot of blessing in your life, and B, you're going to have a chance to hear other people in, I guess, a similar situation as yourself talk about that. And I think there is a lack of communication between men and women. I think men need to hear from women what dating is like for them. Because even if I tell guys, listen, you know, this, that, and the other about women, I don't think it's as effective as really hearing it from women themselves in terms of what they find work for them at a date and what they find do not work for them on a date. And the same thing with women. I think women also need to understand where men are coming from. And my experience has been that people aren't even meeting anymore because they come with so much pain or baggage or expectations that they're not even present. They're not even at the shidduch. They're just not there. And I saw this firsthand where there's a fellow who I know, and you know, Hashem should bless him soon, he should find his, you know, his b'sher. He was in Yerushalayim, and he told me that there was this major international singles event happening at the King's Hotel. And he was going to go, and I said, you know what, I'll go with you, because I would like to see how these things are run. I said, oh great, thank you. It'd be nice to go with somebody, not feel alone, even though I was already married, but so didn't have that much to lose here. So we went to the King's Hotel, and we walked into the lobby, and we walked up to a woman who seemed to be a participant. I said, do you know this is where this international singles event is happening? And she says, well, you're late. Do you understand what she just did? I mean, she just criticized us. We just simply asked her a simple question, is this where this event is? And she looks and says, well, you're late. Well, the fellow who wasn't married, he reacted to her, and he says, well, I didn't really know exactly where it is. Now, you have to say, two complete strangers are arguing with each other within no more than 2 seconds of meeting, right? She says, if you really wanted to get married, right, then you would know about these things. I'm just tired of guys like you. You understand? I only know you for 2 minutes. I mean, like, how are we arguing? And I thought, isn't this so interesting? They now are no longer individuals. They are representatives of the women race and the men race, right? So she is taking all the rap for all the women that have hurt him, destroyed him, you know, and he's taking the rap. And I felt like, you know what? People aren't meeting anymore. And I've seen this happen where people come and they have so much of their stuff with other dates or other people or whatever, their mother, their father, whoever else, and they're just not there to see the person because there's so much in their way to be able to see the person. And that really is something to be aware of, and maybe talk to a friend or, you know, someone who can maybe help you see. And my last point is, you know, I forget, some great thinker once said that the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and thinking you're going to get different results. Right? This is insanity. And I find that people have certain patterns and they do it over and over again. And of course, we need to increase the volume of people that we can meet. But sometimes we do need to ask ourselves, maybe I have to broaden my horizons, right? And we have to do this really carefully so we don't start beating ourselves and, you know, becoming our greatest critics. So I say this with you know, great reservation. But it's something that's important to ask ourselves, which is, maybe there's a different way I could be doing this. And maybe I just really should open up. And maybe the reason why I'm not meeting the person is because the person I'm looking for is not the person Hashem thinks I should be meeting. And so I keep coming to the dates with this expectation of what I think I want, and maybe Hashem wants something different. So, you know, if the person is, you know, basically attractive, they don't have to be incredibly gorgeous, but there's an attraction there, and the person seems basically a, you know, a healthy personality, you know, so then, why not? Let's see where this goes, and let's try and just be a little bit more flowing and open and invite Hashem to join us in our dates. Okay? So that was the end of my little wrap here, and now we're going to do what I said we're going to do.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.